I'm Jerwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we've never been wrong, ever.
This week, raptured.
Do you guys get it? It's like wrapped. This is...
Will they make it to heaven or hell?
We'll decide.
Rapture.
Me and Elizabeth took the morning to scroll through our letterbox and our minds to kind of give you a wrap-up of some of our favorite movies, music, media.
Things of 2025.
Memories, moments. Take a trip down memory lane, why don't we?
I was looking... I mean, this year was just so horrible. I'm just, like, so ready for it to be done.
Oh, my gosh. I could feel a little bit opposite. I had an amazing year. Right now. Yeah. Right now, how I look at it, I'm like, wait.
Wait, this was an amazing... I love that for you, Chica.
Wait, I'm like, also, that. What a mean thing to say while somebody is, like, drowning. Like, but I love swimming.
I was talking about laps yesterday.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so you're going to come back shredded.
And, well, 2026 is going to be a huge year. Your prison year, essentially. You're going to, like, read the Quran and be like, have, like, washboard abs.
I think I was looking back on, like, my Letterboxd, and I'm like, I was a different person when I watched this movie. You know what I mean?
I agree. Like, yeah. I was going through my, like, rating system, mm-hmm. and I had to, like, go back and be like, I think I do like this movie more. I think that when you go into a movie, it really depends, like, what your headspace is and how mad you are at the world.
Yes.
Or, like, how mad you are about, like, whatever happened in your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, man, I really was not happy when I was watching these movies, which would probably be really good movies to some people.
Yeah. And it's reflected in the score.
Yeah. Because I think one of the first movies I watched this year was Companion, and I watched it with Grace and Eamon, and I was like, probably a 2.5 movie, and Grace was like, I had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
The little, the needle drop of My Little Boo Thang twice, I'm like...
My Little Boo Thang.
Like, if I ever heard that song out in public, I'd be so jazzed.
Yeah.
And like...
But it didn't work.
But it didn't work on me. It's just such a funny
charmed.
Song. No, I wasn't. Yeah. And I'm really not charmed by that Sophie Thatcher girl.
Yeah.
Really was not charmed by Jack Quaid, even though...
I'm uncharmed by him as well.
But, like, you know, smash still.
He just kind of, like, kind of nothing burger. And, like, he just wouldn't be in anything if his parents weren't famous.
Yeah, I think that he should get fat.
Yeah, like that guy from Martin Supreme.
Yes, yeah. I think that he should just, like, put on a little weight. And then I'd I might have more sympathy for you.
You look at any guy and you're like, but you would be so much hotter if you gained, like, 20 pounds. I'm
like, that is where it's at right now. just a little bit.
Marty Supreme second watch. Liked it even more.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah. So did you adjust your rating for it at all?
4.5.
Nice,
up from a 4. Because I think... Once I knew what was happening and there was less, like, anxiety of, like, what is going to happen next, I was able to focus a little more on the plot of it. And really good story. Seamless story. Good characterization. His character felt a little more fleshed out the second time.
Right. Because, I mean, you are just, like, waiting on bated breath to see if he'll die.
Exactly. Much of the movie. Or, like, is this dog going to get hurt?
Right. You know? Like, is Odessa eventually going to, like, get blown up? Because I really thought that she was going to be, like, head on a fucking stick by, like,
act two. Okay. I realized the first time I saw it, I think I was in the bathroom when he wiped her black eye off.
Oh my god, that's like a pretty essential
detail.
It's like
a pretty big one.
Yeah.
So it made her character made a lot more sense to me on the second watch too.
Okay. And I will say, going to the bathroom during that movie, it's like when do you even
at
do
your
it?
Own risk. Yeah,
yeah, like you yeah. have to be completely prepared to be like, I might not understand the rest of this movie.
And it well, Kyle went to the bathroom when the bathtub fell through the floor.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, this actually sets up the rest of the movie, so like I need to tell you that this happened.
Right, right. And by the way, the people on Reddit right now who are doing God's work, saying when to go to the bathroom during, like,
oh, really?
2 hour long movies. I think I looked at one that was like during like one battle after uh-huh. another, go to the bathroom during this scene.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah.
I want to watch. Oh, but also before we get off Marty Supreme,
and I'll get off to Marty Supreme. Yeah.
The theater packed, mm-hmm. which was nice to see. A lot of young people in the theater, which is good. Young kids going to the movies.
Yeah.
Except...
No.
Girl.
They wouldn't shut the fuck up.
They don't know how to act. Like, there is these two girls next to Kyle who's, like, on the end of, like, our group.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 13, 14 years old.
Okay.
This girl, her phone's homepage open. She wasn't even on her phone.
Oh, my God. Just the brightness all the way up.
It was just open all the way up. And they were just talking the entire time.
No.
The entire time.
No. This is why I think I'm being a reformed Alamo Drafthouse person. Yeah, I don't care.
That's exactly what Sam said.
Every single time that I go in there, I spend at least $100. And I don't mind even a little bit because the people there are so kind and courteous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a full king's feast.
Yeah.
Like.
Brought to you
yeah. like a king.
And no phones.
And no phones. And you know what? Like. ACAB, except for Alamo Drafthouse employees, because if they are going to make the experience better for everybody, mm-hmm. unfortunately, like, you did sign up for this.
You
signed up
yeah.
to get kicked out if you're being fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, you can really tank my theater experience if you're a fucking annoying person. Like, I think I would have liked The Substance way more if some of the people in that music box didn't mm-hmm. shut the fuck up.
Music box is so hit or miss, because sometimes it's, like, real... cinephiles that are like shutting the fuck up and like mm-hmm. watching the movie, and then sometimes it's like the most annoying people you've ever met in your life.
OMG, a tooth.
Oh my god, what is that?
Oh my gosh, a tooth. I'm like, we can all see that, girl.
Like, it's like people think it's their goddamn living room.
Yeah,
you well, know
another thing is the like with our culture being so like for you, mm-hmm. like if like something like isn't to your like, or like everything has to be catered to one person, mm-hmm. and if that like isn't the case, I'm sorry, you have to watch this by yourself then.
You have, if you're not like with it enough socially, mm-hmm. to like, my thing is we're so cooked, because if you cannot, if you're that addicted to your phone that you cannot sit for 2 hours, mm-hmm. and not even in silence, you are being entertained,
right?
You know what I mean?
Pretty much all of your senses. I mean, and you can get a 4D experience, mm-hmm. to get all of your senses. You can get your prostate fucking
yeah.
stimulated.
Tickled, yeah. Put the ticklers on.
But yeah, no, that it's unacceptable. It's where we have to learn as a culture to become more collectivist.
More. Well, dude, the guy in front of us, older, this wasn't a teenager, listening to voice memos
out loud. Like, there has to be a button that you can press that like launches them through the roof of the theater and like out onto the street.
I was just like seriously mind boggled.
That's disturbing.
It's like people have lost social cues. I find it to be uncouth and rude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just saw this thing on Substack where it was like, well, this has nothing to do with this, but somebody was like, request access to me. Like, we, like, I don't even know how it's like connected in this way, but it's like, we are so insular and like self-involved mm-hmm. now that mm-hmm. like we have like no common courtesy for those
yes.
around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I am loud and fucking annoying in public, but that's in spaces like nightclubs, bars, where you're allowed yeah, to yeah. be talking yeah. or on your phone.
Yeah, you're not in a museum.
In
like,
a right.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a dark room. Shouldn't that be enough to like make you anxious or like weird
yeah.
that you're like being looked at?
Being like, uncomfortable? Like,
yeah, like if my phone was just on, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed. We've yeah. lost embarrassment. We seriously have lost embarrassment.
You know, that's why I've gone to church twice this year, because I'm like, you know what? Some shame would be a little bit good.
A little welcome.
A little bit of shame for mm-hmm. everybody would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It was like just so disappointing, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just how it's going to be now.
Well, it sucks because you quite literally like go to the movie theater. So you avoid going mm-hmm. on your phone and mm-hmm. now you're on somebody else's phone.
You're on somebody else's phone.
I'm like, it's not even like fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even get to see my friends. I have to see a bunch of strangers on that phone. I know that there's probably other movies such as Frankenstein that might deserve the Oscar for best makeup, but I do think that Timothée Chalamet's like fucked up face in that like needs an award.
Like, it was like,
it was so real.
Looked so. Did you see Gwyneth Paltrow that interview?
No.
She was like, she's like, yeah, I went up to Timothy and I noticed like all these like acne scars on his face, and I was like, you know, you can get rid of that with microneedling, right? And he was like, this is makeup.
They put that shit on me.
Yeah, he's like, my skin's actually really good.
I'm a porcelain doll under here. Don't get it twisted, Gwyneth.
Or whatever.
I don't need your fucking super goop powders or whatever.
I'm like, that is such a her thing.
Yeah. Oh, baby, you can get that fixed.
With microneedling.
It's crazy. My dad was like, he like looked at my face and he was like, how much we got to pay to fix all that? And I was like, what?
You're kidding.
Because like, yeah, like my acne scars are getting like bigger uh-huh. or whatever. And he was like, well, honestly, like just do whatever to fix it. And I was like, oh my gosh, money please.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
And I was like, you're not going to want to see the quote. And yeah. He's like, I don't care, dude. Like,
really?
Handle it.
Do you think you're going to get it?
No.
Oh.
He was joking. He was, well, my dad was being a queen.
Oh,
he was,
yeah. He was queening out.
He was what we call in the industry reading me down. Two filth, four filth.
By my own father.
I'm fucking, I see where I get it from now.
You're like,
Oh, great.
Someone's reading me down. So we're going over just like our kind of favorite things from the year.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, music, culture, media.
Mm-hmm.
Personal ethoses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Marty Supreme,
mm-hmm.
it's on my list somewhere.
Okay.
Of my top movies of the year, which we ranked our top five mm-hmm. movies that we watched this year, not that like came out this year. So yeah, we're just gonna read them.
Let's go from number five, Elizabeth. What is your number five?
This is an apt movie. My number five is 28 Years Later.
Okay, which I just watched the first one last mm-hmm. night. And
days.
Days, whatever.
Days to years, days to years.
Yeah, there was pee-pee right away, mm-hmm. so it did immediately get me into a place where I'm like, well, now I have to go look at like shirtless guys on my Instagram. So it did take me out for a second, but I did. I think that it's a really, really good horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. I thought 28 years... It was, when I was watching it, I was like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Really, really good cast. Like, Ralph Fiennes,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh my God, that guy has the scariest bodies ever. Yeah. He has some of the, he has thighs that will be as big as my torso is at the end of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that guy's crazy.
But it was really beautifully shot. Similarly to 28 Days Later, which is one of my favorite movies, had a really nice underlying theme of like family and society, and like it wasn't really a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than that and touched me. I cried. There's a sequel coming out in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that trailer keeps coming up mm-hmm. in every movie that I see, mm-hmm. and it looks fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the, like, gore and stuff in it, like, gross? Or, like...
No.
Okay.
No.
Because there wasn't that much gore in the first
one. No. And it was filmed on iPhone.
What the fuck?
And it looked amazing. it was like rigged up, like...
Right.
Whatever, but beautiful. It reunited Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, like, director-writer mm-hmm. duo, which I think they work really well together.
Mm-hmm.
I love Danny Boyle's style of directing and
mm-hmm.
his... the way he shoots stuff and his music. I love it all. So, yeah.
Man. Okay, I'm thinking of skipping the second one in that
trilogy. You don't need to. Yeah, cool.
Mine is also a horror movie, number five.
Okay.
It is Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, fuck. That's the one I haven't watched.
The one you haven't watched. I know. Because it set me on a spiral to watch every single Final Destination movie in a row mm-hmm. in one day.
Which we, oh, in a day.
In one day, I watched all five Final Destination movies. Or six.
That's awesome, yeah. There, so, I think Bloodlines is six, yeah.
Bloodlines is six. Yeah. I watched all of them in one day.
That and is so crazy.
It was overcoming a huge fear of mine, which, like, watching those movies as a kid, I was obviously like, well, they've basically turned serendipity and, like, whimsy into the most disgusting and nasty thing mm-hmm. of all time. But, like, I feel like this brand new one, like, takes it to a whole new level. Obviously with, like, technology advancing. Mm-hmm. But, like, they got so creative with these. And I think that some of the funniest kills I've ever seen in my entire life are from this movie.
Okay. I love that.
Because
we both watched all of them this year. Mm-hmm. All the Final Destinations.
Yes.
And they are so good.
Like,
they're so good.
Well, some of them are good.
Well, I mean, like, they're good for what they are.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think we had the same.
Let's say the definitive ranking of them from best to worst. Ready? Best three. That next one. Next two. Next five. And then four. Right.
Okay. And I haven't seen Bloodline, so I don't know where that ranks in for you.
I was keeping that out because I think that Bloodlines might be my favorite because I think that the really good part of three is that they kind of have like this like structure and order to
it. Yes.
Same thing with five. So same thing with five. But like this one, there's like a very definitive ranking of like how the people will get killed, which I think that structure is really essential to these movies. Like in the fourth one, when it's just like
willy-nilly,
Nick Zano's next.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in the pool.
Yeah. And then like in the third one, when it's like, oh, you see in the photos like how they're gonna die.
Yes.
It's like that is cool. Because it kind of feels like a whodunit. It kind of feels like you're anticipating what's happening next. You're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be this person and it's gonna be from that.
Right.
And
is it?
Right.
Yeah, it was.
So then this movie has some good fake outs of like who's gonna die and in what order. And then obviously like the whole like trying to defeat death thing.
It was actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like a interesting like musing on like fate. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
We can't escape it.
Well, and I love that when the first one came out, it was like it's the very first like killer slasher movie where there's no killer.
Yeah.
It is like just death, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
And then who's the guy who is Candyman?
Tony Todd.
I'm like, you have the best career ever. R.I.P.
I am extremely charmed by him.
He's a stoic figure.
Yeah.
Him in the sixth one made me cry.
Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
It is. Yeah. I'm like, it should be at the top. Like, it is. He gets like one last little monologue as
he
death.
Died.
Mm-hmm. So sad. And it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I love horror franchises and like this
one. And that's one of the ultimate ones.
I mean, they are really, really creative with this one.
Yeah.
So thank you, Final Destination. And hey, this is like, that was John Waters' second favorite movie of the year.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you know it's good.
So you know that, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking blast.
It's a moment in culture.
Yes, yes, yes.
That made me happy that we got to talk about Final Destination. I got the VHS of the first one.
Well, yeah, they do tap into the most primal and real fears of like everyday life.
Yeah.
And like talk about watching a movie like with your eyes closed. Like,
I was actually gonna say this is one of the only horror movies I can watch with my eyes open because there's no jump scares.
Oh yeah, that's true. You know? That's true. But it's the anticipation from these movies.
Yeah.
In the sixth one of the first kills is like so built up. You're like, how is it gonna happen?
Yeah.
Like you just don't know, because there's like so many different things that could be. It could be, and then it's just like the most fucked up version of it. I'm like, oh, like I think that Final Destination needs to be given credit for how it builds tension.
Yeah.
Because I think that is something that movies are losing.
Yeah, like, instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, comedies, like, there's no, like, build up to, like, a situational joke. It's just, like, little quips or, like, little deliveries that, like, comedies now really rely on. But this movie does a really good job of, like, withholding that.
Yeah.
And, like, getting a really cathartic release from, like, I mean, an insane kill.
Yeah. And someone's named Clear Rivers, so... To be a girl named Clear Rivers.
Clear Rivers. I'm like, gotta go put that up with Nomi Malone and Faith. Yeah. And Faith from Spring Breakers.
Okay, I love that.
Coming in at number four. Well,
number four for me, Mighty Supreme.
Talk about building tension.
Talk about building tension.
Talk about building tension. That movie, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but I've never seen a Safdie Brothers movie. And this was, like, I feel like, the probably the best introduction because it was, like, out of their most recent movies, pretty light.
It was, yeah, it was
pretty,
like,
light on the anxiety.
Like, kind of like Safdie Brothers light, you know? Like, I think it was more palatable for, like, a large audience. And, yeah, I just thought, I mean, we kind of, like, just talked about it. But... good. I mean, Timmy's performance, amazing. Really nice, like, story and, like, kind of tying in of themes. And I thought it was a great kind of musing on, like, American exceptionalism. And, yeah, really good. Really happy.
Yeah. Honestly, our friend Jared's review of it on Letterboxd was really good.
Yeah, like, if you
have watched the movie, I think read it.
Yeah. Oh, I need to.
He talks about, like, the canon of the Safdie Brothers, and it's just, like, how this movie differs from, like, some of those other ones. I really like reading people's, like, genuine reviews of Letterboxd movies. If you're on Letterboxd and you're writing, like, a one-line review trying to be, like, twitter.com, love you. Io Debri did it all.
Yeah.
I just genuinely want to know what you thought about a movie.
They're asking me to leave the theater.
Yeah. I'm like, I just genuinely want to know what people think about a movie. And if you're trying to be funny on there, I do feel like you're edging my ball sack. And I'm like, I want to know what you thought.
Because rarely are you funny.
Yeah. And also, like, the only thing that I want to hear about in someone's review is if they watched it on an airplane or not.
Yeah. Like, Wait, that's so funny.
I'm like, you should be required to tag your Letterboxd reviews.
Airplane or not.
On airplane or not.
Yeah. That's so funny. Because anything you watch on an airplane is automatically a five.
Right. I watched the fucking new Marvel movie Thunderbolts. Cried my fucking eyes out for 2.5 hours. I'm like, what the absolute hell? Why do I want to sit on Lewis Pullman's entire body? Like, I could bottom him head to toe.
Yeah.
I love. No problem.
What's your number four?
My number four. I haven't memorized.
Okay.
One of Them Days.
Oh, I didn't
Palmer
see that.
And SZA. I think it's on Netflix still. I think that talking about, like, comedies too, like, this is just, like, a classic screwball buddy comedy.
Which we're missing.
Which we severely lack in this age. Just, like, truly insane situations that all have, like, a common thread. Very, very easy plot. They need to make rent.
Yeah.
Like, it is all sketches, just like all, like, funny bits and such charismatic performances from both of them. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that I've been seeing some lists where they're like, them two as a duo counts as one performance because it is so
seamless. Like,
they're so, like, one entity.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. I miss just a funny movie. Like, it's about friendship and it's about sacrifice and it's about, you know, like, two people teaching how to, like, be more like the other, like, impart, like, being the yin and yang to each other in a buddy comedy. Really good at that storytelling.
Yeah.
I just think that we need more fucking funny ass movies. Like, movies that make me fucking laugh. Go back to being physical. Like, go back to having
hijinks.
Yeah. Antics.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Marty Supreme was pretty much a caper.
It was.
You know what I mean?
It was
antic
after a situational
antic
caper.
Yes, it really was. Yeah. And I think that One of Them Days also is in that same kind of vein. Obviously not as, like, it doesn't have as heady as themes, obviously, but, like,
I think it's fun.
I think that, like, why does every single thing have to be about intergenerational trauma right now?
Yeah.
Like, there's commentary about, like, where they live in Los Angeles, and, like, there's good points on that. But I really just miss just, like, a fucking well-acted, committed comedy movie.
Yeah.
And this movie proves that they can, like, really come back.
That's, like, being released in theaters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, because I meant to see that in theaters, and I think I didn't for some reason.
Well, it's best to see one of those movies in a room where, like, there's, like, laughs, like, it's an actual comedy
show. Love that. So now I'll watch it.
We have a lot of homework. We're getting a lot of homework right now.
Before the end of the year.
Right. All right. Number three.
Okay. I forget what this is. Oh, Party Girl.
Whoa. Yeah. This was your first time watching Party Girl?
This was my first time watching Party Girl.
Oh, my God.
I was extremely charmed by it. Like,
well,
I mean, it's just so I was watching it and I'm like, I am having so much fun watching this movie. Mm-hmm. Parker Posey. So good. Mm-hmm. Just like such an energy, such a depiction of a New York that is long, long gone, mm-hmm. of a culture that's long gone.
Yeah.
Made me want to become a librarian.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was like a really good story of like putting your mind to something and doing it.
Right.
And if that goes against what you thought maybe mm-hmm. you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I call it a reverse Cinderella story mm-hmm. because like she goes from being like the most beloved person ever. Now she wants to be like holed away in a library.
Yeah.
Because she's like, well, I mean, truly like become ungovernable. Like, yeah. like don't let them know your next move.
You have
move.
Free will.
Right. Like it's like, oh, you don't think I'm fucking smart enough to work in your fucking library? Like, her line deliveries in that are so good.
So good.
Stop fagging out, Derek. Stop being such a faggot. Stop fagging out.
And the costumes obviously are amazing.
And well, yeah, some of the most influential outfits I think
of all time.
Yeah,
I mean
that movie.
You were so charmed by it, you threw a party.
I threw a whole party of 30th anniversary this mm-hmm. year, and I'm like, 1995. You are the goated year for film for me. Like.
To be born in 1978.
To be 25 in 1995. If you were born in 1970 and you were 25 in 1995, just consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, count your days in that.
Besides, of course, any of the harsh economic or social realities of the time, consider yourself lucky in terms of movies.
Yeah.
Because we got fucking Death of a Unicorn. Right. Okay, so you count your blessings.
That's the third point of the Rapture Triangle.
Oh, Jenna Ortega's yeah. fucking curtain bangs. Yeah, fucking... If I got curtain bangs, they would be like, no. She got curtain bangs, she's going to be in every highest grossing movie of the next 10 years.
Oh, perfect. So when I get curtain bangs, it's crickets.
Oh, and then when I'm wearing a perfect little black dress and acting like a fucking bitch all the time.
Hitting my vape.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, no problem.
I haven't seen it. I just know everything that happens because we've talked about it so much.
Well, it truly traumatized me. I should have watched that movie on a plane.
Yeah, because then it would have been 5 stars.
Then it would have been 5 stars, yeah. But... I cried like I was on a fucking plane. I cried like I was on a fucking plane watching that movie.
I saw that trailer like before a couple movies mm-hmm. that I saw, and I was like I was like, I don't want to be watching this trailer right now. I don't mm-hmm. want to see this movie.
Like, don't show me that like ugly CGI unicorn that they made. I'm like, they could have done like claymation mm-hmm. miniatures that they blew up on the screen and it would have looked better.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Yeah. So,
but seriously, I'll love to Paul Rudd if he ever wants to come to my house and just like ask me if I need help with anything. That'd be so cool.
If he wants to be my next Task Rabbit.
By the way, jumping the gun, Task Rabbit, you are so out for 2025.
Oh,
so done with you.
Why?
So done with you. Because with the guy installing my air conditioning did it wrong.
Oh yeah.
And I know where you live. I don't, but
he knows where you live.
He knows where I live. Super knows where I live.
But yeah, don't watch Death of a Unicorn, watch Party Girl.
Yes.
And it was also kind of lost media for a while.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, Criterion luckily snatched it up. Mm-hmm. I think I watched it for the first time on like YouTube in
2018.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And Parker, you
will
so
always
bad.
Be famous.
Yes. Continuing with the theme of 1995, mm-hmm. my number three is also from 95. La Haine. I know. We saw it at Bucket of Blood yesterday, and I was like, I should just fucking buy it because mm-hmm. it genuinely... I want, like, a big poster of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that the cinematography is so gorgeous. One of the only black and white movies I could, like, truly...
Mm-hmm. Like, stomach.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because the cinematography in itself, it captures, like, this, like, 90s France and, like...
What's it about?
It is about, like, police brutality
okay.
in France.
Okay.
I think it's a really, really cool story. It's like this like mixed friend group, like this mixed race friend group, and they're all experiencing it kind of differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good movie about like masculinity and getting involved in like activism. And I think like right now it's a really important movie.
Prescient.
So like it's mad prescient. Because, yeah, like, you watch, like, the one white guy in the group kind of, like, he's, like, oh, yeah, we just need to, like, be in the streets, like, bop, bop, bop. Like, he has, like, a gun. And then he, like, really realizes the harsh realities of, like, what that means to kind of, like, be fighting back in the streets. I don't want to spoil anything, but it is just, like, it's one really funny dialogue between three friends.
Okay.
And then it's a really serious dialogue about bigger things like police brutality and how they're experiencing it as, like, youth in the 90s.
Okay.
And the costumes, I think, in line with Party Girl, like, some of my favorite costumes I've ever seen in movies.
A high neck zip up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so smash all of them. I think that they're making a musical version of it right now.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's going to be cool to see them translate the, like, hip-hop aspects onto stage, because music was a huge part of, like, activism at that time as well. They show that in the streets of, like, kids gathering to dance, like, break dance together. I thought that was, like, a really, like, it was just a nice little nod to, like, people finding joy and finding, like, community.
Yeah.
Like, even though there's all of this, like, political unrest
and,
like, this, like, social unrest.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
95, you're fucking goated. We love you forever.
We love you forever.
Born in the wrong generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's been on my list. All these have been, I'm like, I want to watch all of them.
And they're, hey, they're all streaming on Criterion, I'm pretty sure, or Netflix.
Yes, yeah. La Haine is, like, the ultimate Criterion movie.
Oh, it is, like, I feel bad because it, that, talk about a fucking boy movie.
Yeah.
But, like, it's at least, like, about masculinity, which is, like, phew.
Yeah, like, you can get away with it.
Right. Because there's, like, I think, like, three women in the entire movie.
Whatever.
And it's, like, it's okay. Just, like, smoking cigs inside, like, having hot dogs on a roof, like,
yeah.
Besides the other stuff, like, sounds like a chill as fuck.
Sounds like a fucking dream.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right, what are we at? Number two.
Number two. Oh. In the Mood for Love.
Whoa, and now this is where I must say I haven't seen that.
You would love.
I know, the Wong Kar-wai stuff, of course.
I mean, it's just, I saw it at Music Box, so I saw it, like, on the big screen, and it just, like, the colors, the atmosphere, I really love Wong Kar-wai, so it's, like, I'm just automatically, like, I think I'm gonna like this.
Man, everyone's so beautiful in it.
It's so beautiful.
Everyone is so beautiful.
And just...
That guy is one of my top three crushes, I think, of... life.
Yeah, because he was in Chungking Express too.
Yeah, and I started watching 2046.
I need to, because it's on Criterion right now.
I fell asleep during it.
Well, it's a well, you should watch In the Mood for Love because it's a sequel.
Per. I was like, so did they know each other? Like, what is what is their story?
Because 2046 is the number of the room they would meet up in in the Mood for Love.
So I'm finding that I jumped the gun on that one. It was like a Christmas movie. It was like,
oh, really?
I like looked up like Christmas movies to watch because I wanted to watch something on Christmas and like fell asleep to it.
Yeah. Well, girl, now you have something to look forward to.
I love having homework. Seriously, homework is in.
It's in. For 2026. For 2020. Yeah. No, it's just like a beautiful, touching movie. Just gorgeously shot. That guy knows how to create a vibe.
Yeah.
In his films, like. Not a lot of talking, a lot being said with the eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those two.
With the look.
Those leads are, like, so expressive.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Have to do a deep dive. I mean, like, I just watched Chungking this year. That was my introduction to him. And I'm like, well, of course I'm going to like this motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
The clothes in Chungking.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm like... Faye Wong, you will always be famous.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, she's the only manic pixie dream girl I'll accept.
Yeah, it's fun because it's international.
Yeah.
It's like her and Amelie, do whatever you guys want, but like Zooey Deschanel, like, you know, maybe you
tone it down,
maybe just like, hey, take a nap, take a rest.
Yeah. What's your number two?
My number two. Yes. My number two is Frankenstein.
Okay.
Well, we have to say this. Hi, Jacob Elordi.
Well, that's like without saying hi.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and to me, especially, is Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
so emotive.
First of all, you're eight guys. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Throw me into a fucking ship. Like, whatever. And as you know, I've been reading Frankenstein on my phone. What one page whenever I'm in an Uber and I need something to do.
Me reading the New Yorker article when we were...
You're reading one third of a New Yorker. Or maybe even one tenth because it was 92 minutes.
Yeah, to listen to. Yeah. Sorry.
How is that an article? I'm sorry. That's like, that is an audiobook.
Short story. Yeah. Yeah.
Frankenstein, I think that it's probably my favorite costumes in movies from this year.
Yes.
Just like the veils... Mia Goth's face,
yeah.
The hat,
yeah.
The syphilis. Mm-hmm. I think that it might take makeup for this makeup or definitely. Like costumes. I really like, I like Guillermo del Toro's connection to like sentimentality. Mm-hmm. Like when I was at the Landmark, the person serving us popcorn was mm-hmm. like. I'm kind of been going back and forth. Like, people have been saying that it's good. Some people, like, didn't really like it because it was too sentimental. And I was like, if you don't like a movie because it's too sentimental, like, what's your damage, bro?
Yeah, like, what? You don't like human connection?
Like, my God, can you just, like... It's a movie about, like, passing down your, like...
Yeah.
Your bad behavior to your children.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's already so cruel.
Yeah.
And how, like... It's passed down from generation to generation. Can't we have like a little bit of like, oh, God forbid we forgive mm-hmm. those who've trespassed against us.
Yeah.
God forbid your dying breath. You're like, please forgive me. And somebody goes, I will.
Yeah. Like, let's moving forward, letting right. go of like intercontinental grudges
right.
that take you to the Arctic.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's fine. We can all grow up and move on.
Exactly. And... Yeah, I mean, like, Jacob, whenever you need anything, call us.
We're
1-800-RAPTURE.
I'll be there.
Yeah, love. Yeah. Just love, dude.
It was really, really, really good.
And Mia Goth, I mean, like, ever since Pearl, you have a very
Scream
special
in any
place.
Movie, girl. Go ahead.
If she is in any movie and there is blood in it, too, mm-hmm. it's going to be up there for
there
me.
There will be blood.
There will be blood.
Yeah.
And it will be... hers.
Yeah,
love her.
Love
except
her.
For Maxine.
Maxine was bad.
I'll turn a blind eye to Maxine.
That wasn't like her fault necessarily though.
No.
They just got a little heady with
they
it.
They weren't a strict timeline.
Yeah, we didn't need a third one that quickly.
No, I mean, you gave us Pearl and X back to back. Oh my God, during the fucking so pandemic.
Yeah, this SARS-2 COVID-19 pandemic.
The events that occurred yeah. during. Yeah, so Frankenstein. Anybody else from that movie? Oh, obviously Oscar Isaac.
I heard someone say he was like the worst part of that movie. I could agree.
I mean, and that's even a glowing review of the movie.
Yeah.
Like Oscar
yeah,
Isaac.
Yeah. With his
yeah.
Countess Luann.
His bob. Okay, yeah, whoever did his hair, like, it's got to be you and Nicole Kidman who must have fucking like shit in someone's wig. Yeah. It's you, Nicole Kidman, and Lea Michele who have the hairstylist out
battling
it
out.
Yeah, the worst
in
wig.
The ring, yeah, yeah. I'm interested to see how it'll do at the Oscars.
Yeah, I think it has a very good chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know who's up in the supporting actor race. It's probably going to be the guy in Sentimental Value that wins.
No, I think people are saying Benicio del Toro for One Battle.
I mean, I guess all love, of course. What a fun performance. But the dad in Sentimental Value doesn't take it.
I know. Well,
I'm going to be a little gagged.
I would love that. Jacob already even. He'll get nominated, I think.
Oh, for sure. And yeah. I hope he wears the makeup.
He would never cover that beautiful face.
Okay, fine. Then I just want him to be fucking naked. It's like, let's see the uncut version of Frankenstein in that I need to see his pee-pee.
Roll the tape.
What a gay guy. I love you gay guys. Thank you for making Frankenstein, building a perfect man in yeah. Jacob Elordi. I fucking love that. That's so, oh my God.
That's going in the shitpost.
F slur.
Number one, mm-hmm. Hamnet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, I mean, if something is that emotionally devastating, mm-hmm. it's automatically going to go up.
Right.
And just like, yeah. It was just touching. It was so, the performances,
yeah.
like crying. Like we said this after we saw it. It hit on every single thing to make me sob.
Right.
You
and
know?
It was like it never got to like that like trauma porny kind of like, damn, like this woman can't catch a break.
No.
It literally just like was a very tastefully done story.
Very, very. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, I want to see it again.
I would see that movie 20 more times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That last sequence at the theater, I think, is one of the best sequences in a movie that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
in the last 5 years.
I think so.
I think that that woman, if she doesn't take the Oscar, there's something severely wrong with the with the voting process.
Yeah.
Except Emma Stone and Begonia, you know, you were a fucking diva. Love ya.
But I don't think you're taking it.
You can't. Mm-mm. You can't take that away from her.
I think it's like pretty much decided that like yeah. she's gonna win.
I mean, like, she really had a tough job out there.
Just screaming.
I know. I'm like, I really wonder how long that filming process took, because I would have probably needed days long breaks in between the like mourning. I mean, like, she's mourning almost every other scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Or she's giving fucking birth.
And oh my god, yeah. When there is a child who is scared because he can't find his mom, mm-hmm. and in this case, it's because the child is dead and he's in the afterlife. Yeah, I'm gonna sob. I'm gonna, when someone's screaming, "Mommy, where are you?"
No, that I'm like even getting to a place right now where I can't like, hear you say like, that, because like it's gonna make me, in Ponyo, it makes me cry every single time when the little boy is like sniffling through tears looking for his mother, like sailing through the land,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
trying to find his mom. I'm like, well, great.
Well, great. Now I'm
sobbing.
Well, great.
Now I want to call my mom.
Yeah,
like perfect.
It's like this was kind of up there for me with like After Sun in terms of like emotional devastation. And Paul Mescal, common thread.
That guy. That guy needs to do a comedy.
I know.
That guy deserves to have a little bit of fun.
He deserves to have a laugh.
But I mean, I will say his SNL was pretty terrible. So I don't know if he has the capacity to necessarily.
I don't see him as being a funny guy.
No, 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 no. But I mean, like, you'd think that he would have done like a big, big rom-com by now.
Yeah.
You would have thought that he would have been in Materialists.
Yeah, yeah. I need to see that too.
Dasha.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that you avoided it for many reasons. But Dakota Johnson, you will have a whole award for yourself one day.
For bangs.
Whenever we understand, like, what your career
whenever
is.
Whenever we understand you.
Yeah, right when we start to, right when the world starts to see what we see, and by that I mean I see, yeah, you'll be getting a fucking lifetime achievement award.
What was your number one?
My number one of the year is Tampopo.
Okay, it's, what is that?
It is my highest rated movie.
Okay.
My highest rated first watch of the year. It is a Japanese movie about a woman who wants to make ramen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a pretty iconic. It's one of those movies where it's like, if this is one of your favorite movies, it ultimately does say nothing about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like one of those like canon,
can I look it
canon
up on
movies.
Letterboxd?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
But it was one of those movies that changed how I kind of saw like screenplay writing in that like not every character has to be connected to the story, or you don't even necessarily like need, you don't even need every character to like have a full plot.
Okay, okay.
There, what I mean to say is that
1985. Okay, cool.
Yeah. There's the main plot of the girl who just wants to like make ramen really well. It's kind of, it reminded me a little bit of like Karate Kid or like a superhero training montage, mm-hmm. basically. She's like, I'm going to make the best ramen and like you have to teach me how to do it. And like this like whole group of people like rallies around her to help her like mm-hmm. advance her cooking skills.
Mm-hmm.
But like throughout the movie, while they're on like little side quests, they'll like bounce to somebody else that was in the same grocery store, or like they'll bounce to like different vignettes. And I thought that it was a really, really cohesive way of telling a story mm-hmm. without the characters being directly connected to the main thing that you would consider the plot of the movie.
Okay.
There were like all these different things about how food is connected to like desire and pain. There's like that really, really iconic scene with the egg where it's like two lovers and they're like passing an egg back and forth.
Interesting.
It's like so, so like visceral.
Okay.
And I just really appreciate that kind of like storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that can make you see narrative in a new way,
yeah,
that's like really awesome.
And it felt kind of like literature vibes, mm-hmm. because you were like popping in and out of this story that was very like classic cinema,
mm-hmm.
and then you were getting these like just like kind of like genre vignettes of like random people at, like, all throughout the city.
Right.
That are just, I love that.
It's just, but they, it all had the through line of, like, food is about coming together. Food is about desire. Like,
yeah.
Food is about, blah, like, food is XYZ.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Cool. Yay. Ass movie. Thank you, Elim, for making me watch that movie.
Love.
Love. And what assigning your friend's homework to watch a movie so then you can talk about it.
And then to actually watch the movie?
And then, yes. Mm-hmm. And, like, to watch it and give it your attention so you can talk about mm-hmm. it. I think that that is just, like, that's the sweetest love. Gift that you can give somebody. Yeah. It's like, oh, now we have something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I took this thing you recommended and I did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a cool thing to just say to somebody, like, I think that you would like this. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so romantic.
Everything is... romantic.
Oh my gosh, I just found out that I'm going to be going through my Saturn return the day that Wuthering Heights comes out.
Valentine's Day?
The day before Valentine's Day, of course. February 13th, 2026. It is going to be a fucking ride.
Till when?
Till 2028.
Oh my god, dude. And to be ushered in with that movie.
I know. Like, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be, like, so horny that my, like, dick turns into my butt? Like, what? Like, what's going to happen? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, dude.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I know. I'm going to, like, undergo, like, a werewolf-like transformation in that theater. Where I'm just
into
be
that
like...
you look like Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, those mutton chops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of Jacob Elordi's, uh-huh. like...
Which we need to watch.
Insane mutton chop things. Yeah. Did you watch the Bon Iver music video where he, like, pretty much is wearing the same exact thing? It looks like he came off set of Wuthering Heights and, like, walked in to film this music video for Justin Vernon.
When did that come out?
It came out, like, a couple of months ago. It's for day one.
Can we watch?
Oh, my God. The way that I want to, like, turn this off and, like, literally put that on and just, like, lay on my stomach. Because he is so fine in that. And, uh-huh. like, also, like, Dijon's in it.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's, like, I think that that is probably my favorite piece of music that has come out this yeah. year is like that whenever Bon Iver drops an album, and I know that this is like completely uninteresting to say, it does do like a full vibe shift in my brain, because like in college when his like 22 Forever album or mm-hmm. whatever came out, like I listened to that album front to back
yeah.
on repeat every single day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Is that on your list?
Yes. I mean, I think that it's I mean, I loved Everything is Peaceful Love. Mm-hmm. Just, like, he's so good at capturing, like, what a time feels like.
Yeah.
And while still being kind of, like, in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Love you, Bon Iver.
Love you. I was listening to something where it's, like, oh, it's this show called Northern Exposure mm-hmm. is where he got his name from.
Oh, right. And that's, like, some, like, old Canadian, like...
No, it was, like, on, like, CBS, but my parents are watching it.
Oh, shit.
So when I was home for Christmas, like, I was watching it with them, and then I read, I was like, oh, this is where, it's his favorite show, I'm like, and that's where he got his name from.
Oh, shit.
Which is so funny.
Dude, that's awesome.
And also one of the guys is on One Tree Hill, so it was, like, just a full circle.
Oh, my gosh. Chad Michael Murray, I got it.
Yeah, Chad Michael Murray.
If we name one more guy that I like, I'm going to have to go ahead and, like run as hard as I can into a door.
Do you want to just go through your whole list?
Yeah, mine is, so Sable Fable, to pull up. I just put my, I'm going to selfishly plug. I put my top 25 releases into a playlist on my Substack today.
Oh, love. Of music yes. or just everything?
Of music. Like, of, it was like, it's just a playlist on Spotify called 2025. Mm. So there's 25 songs on there. Everything's Peaceful Love is probably number one. The new Whitney album.
Mm-hmm.
You know that is going to affect me so deeply. Good. Especially the Pitchfork review of it saying that it was like some of the most uninspired music they've ever heard. I'm like, well, once a boy tells you to like something, you unfortunately will like it forever.
Once Pitchfork tells you to like something, don't. And that's like, wait, we were talking yeah. about that yesterday.
Yeah, that's
unless
a death
I
sentence.
Agree with
like,
it.
Yeah. Pitchfork, you're fucking mindless, you're brainless, you're pretentious, unless I agree with you, in which case you're completely right. So yeah, the Whitney album, the people who opened for Ethel Cain, called 9 Million. They released an amazing album. I feel like it spans a lot of genres, so anybody can kind of find one track that they like on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sudan Archives' new album. Saw her at Millennium Park,
mm-hmm.
and it was so cool. She was, like, playing the violin and wearing gorgeous. Just, like, an absolutely fierce bodycon, like, mm-hmm. bodysuit, and I was like, well, you're gonna go ahead and take it from me.
Yeah.
And This one might come as a surprise to everybody, but Rihanna Smurfs is making my list.
Like Rihanna in the Smurfs?
Rihanna's song for the Smurfs. Oh. It genuinely is like you feel like you could hear the song at Smart Bar, and it's for like a Smurfs movie let's say together 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
She's always like ahead of the curve. Like
she like didn't have to go this hard.
It was Brat before Brat came out.
I'm so serious. Like the Smurfs would have loved to do a little line, do a little low key.
Did it come out before Brat?
No, it came out this year.
Oh. Whatever. She probably had it recorded before.
Right. And there's a genre of music that I listen to while I do like my writing or whatever, like research reading. Mm-hmm. And it's just like drum and bass, PlayStation, Japanese, like whatever that genre of music is. I just find a playlist and fucking rock with it. If you have like good video game music to listen to in that vein, mm-hmm. send it over, because it gets me fucking locked in.
He's locking in.
Yeah.
He's in Mario Kart.
No, it's even scary. It's like PlayStation 2.
Oh.
It's like doom, 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 doom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have magic, whatever.
I love that. That's like a good mix of stuff, mm-hmm. a wide range of genres.
Yeah. The rest of the playlist is like a lot of like beep boop, gay mm-hmm. faggot stuff. There's like Ethel Kane and like...
Whatever. What did Jared and Brittany say from Salt Lake City?
Oh, well, that video, everyone should go watch it. Yeah. Jared is sitting there, like, listening to the song, and Brittany starts singing it, and Jared goes, "Hey, maybe we just listen to it. Maybe we don't sing along to it." You can tell that he fucking hates her.
He's like, "We love her, they..." Or whatever.
That, by the way, that's for a cameo. Yeah. It's like a gift to somebody.
Whoever got that. Yeah. I'm fucking jealous. Okay.
And Brittany Bateman, you do have an amazing singing voice, by the way.
You will always be famous.
She and her taking that snowflake from behind. Like, edging Meredith out. That is one of the coolest. I feel like I'm talking about sports right now, but like that is one of the coolest interceptions of mine.
Like I've from ever witnessed. The 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Buzzer beater. Like
combining every sport together. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go 5-1. Mm-hmm. So, 90s Britpop,
love
Oasis and Blur and. That whole vibe, because I was downtown in the Loop the day that Oasis was in town at Soldier mm-hmm. Field, and truly an electric feeling throughout the Loop, like just amazing. And I'm like, I gotta get into Oasis. I gotta get into. I just, and I also just love the styling.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that when I had my Liam Gallagher haircut, like I've never seen Elizabeth look at me with such loving eyes. Like she was like, never change. She was like, I hope your hair never grows. I hope it stays exactly this length. We're at Blackout Wednesday, and she's like, I just love this. Like you think that I was like getting shipped off to war, and I was her son.
It was.
You're
so
fucking
good.
Waving at the Titanic.
I'm like crying. Yeah.
Obsessed.
It was good. And then a lot of classical and instrumental this year.
That is cute. Do you have a favorite movement or like composer?
No, it's more just because we've talked about this.
You looking like a Debussy girl.
Debussy. I do love Claire de Lune. I'm more of a sound. Gotcha. Person versus
a music person
and a lyrics person.
Right.
So it was a lot of Philip Glass.
Okay.
Pas de Deux from the Nutcracker.
Nutcracker, I know her.
Challengers score.
Okay.
And also a song from 28 Days Later, actually. Wow. The theme from it.
Period.
Listening to a lot, and
okay,
it's good. It can make to be moved by music with no words. I start playing something.
We get fined.
Yeah,
by a dead guy. Yeah.
And then All I Want to Do by the Beach Boys, and just kind of the Beach Boys in general. Listening to a lot.
Well,
this
and
summer.
Huge year for them, right? because
dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we could have handled that a little bit more appropriately.
Yeah, sorry, like all love R.I.P.
Huge year for them, yeah. Because I remember I got to see them do Pet Sounds at the Chicago Theater.
You're kidding.
And it was fucking incredible.
I kill you.
Right. Why not?
No, that guy was like seriously a genius and inspired so much music 30 years later. Like shoegaze, like that whole early 90s.
We wouldn't have the Cartoon Twins.
Yeah, we would not have them.
We wouldn't have... I mean, some of the best music.
Of all time. Like, seriously?
Once again, it sucks that we weren't born in 1970 to be 25 and 95.
Whatever, dude. Number two, the song Summer Boy by Lady Gaga. Girl, I listened to it like 100 times.
I know it wasn't your top.
It was like my Apple second music most played song, yeah. 7 nights you can take me home.
That song is like peak, like walking up Clark Street in like 2018 to me. Like I'm wearing this like beat up pair of Converse thinking I'm Timothy Chalamet and Call Me By Your Name.
The way that movie decimated DePaul.
Oh, it was, yeah. It's our lead paint. Yeah. We'll never really like know how it affected our brains and our bodies.
Yeah, it was everywhere. And then number one, just New Order. Just so much New Order.
Back to Marty Supreme.
When I heard that fucking needle drop, because that's like, sometimes I just play the beginning of that song like 3 times in a row because it like switches ears, you know? I was like, oh my God, they're playing my song.
You started standing up. You stood up in the theater.
No, but they, I mean, it's just so good. They also inspired a lot electronic, like dance music. Like, and it's the ex members of Joy Division, which is, I also, that's insane lore.
Right.
And my dad really likes Joy Division, so I started listening to New Order like last year and just got like way more into it.
Period. This year is so Does your good. Dad have a Joy Division shirt?
No.
Like, 500 is a small one. That would have been such so a good funny. I would have like paid money to frame it. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm like, well, I would have stolen it.
Right.
Yeah.
By now.
Yeah, by now. But yeah, that was kind of the year in music.
That is, I like that we came at music from two very different lenses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yours, a little bit of the past, a little bit of the present.
Yeah.
Because it all connects back to kind of the movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Britpop, dude.
Britpop.
And actually, I don't know if that album by A.G. Cook came out this year or last year, but that is still a fucking banger.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we're at the like the last part, right?
yeah
just general culture stuff. What did you write down?
So I wrote down a few things that just I've been kind of doing in my day-to-day life. The most thing
Run that shit back.
The thing that I really, really changed my mindset on and like really implemented this year was decluttering and like using the shit I already have and not buying new stuff.
Dude, that's going to be a huge part of this next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and another thing I wrote down is just like being really intentional.
Yeah.
About everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My big 2026 is go to the library.
Yes.
And in the vein of Party Girl, ask the librarians questions. I was reading this, like, one of my favorite essayists on Substack right now was, like, talking about how his dream would be to live in a house with no Wi-Fi and writing down the questions that you have through, like, throughout the week and then going one day to the library to look them up.
Oh,
or, like,
yeah.
Instead of, like, I'm so apprehensive of using Google at all anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big Wikipedia head, just donated.
Yeah.
Everybody go ahead and... Same thing with Wikipedia, donate.
Donate, yeah.
Go ahead and donate.
Just donate.
It is my favorite website to go on.
Mm-hmm.
But also just going to the library and being like, I'm going to, like, look into a book. Or, like, I'm going to ask them to point me to a book where I might be able to, like, learn more about this subject rather than, like, wading through sources.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I just shouted out a guy from Substack, but I'm really thinking of, like, completely divesting energy from Substack.
I think I am, too.
It is so much 20, 21-year-olds writing stuff. Like, they have all of this, like, knowledge and superiority. Not saying that you do not. You have your experiences, yeah, and those are things to pull from. But not everyone is an arbiter of like taste and culture, mm-hmm, and like this like weird activist lens that everyone wants to take onto their Substacks when it's like truly just like some vapid like projection of their own, yeah, insecurity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, don't need to hear anybody talking about the women in Wicked's bodies anymore. Don't need to hear people talking about Sabrina Carpenter. Like, mm-mm, you guys can just fucking chill.
Yeah.
And then maybe we read some like older texts that are available, yeah, at the library.
Yeah.
Like,
we're cracking open a book. We're opening up the schools.
And like renting a textbook, dude. I rented a textbook on skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking fierce. All of the research that goes into those 100 pages of the book are just the sources.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and I'm looking up the sources.
And then now you have so many other things to, I'm like, it is a more fun rabbit hole when it had to go through like Gates, like publishing,
yeah,
things like fact checkers, like
things like fact checkers,
things like fact checkers,
yeah,
like that. Those are becoming way more important to me now.
Yes,
that like things are being vetted. I know that like accessibility, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that people have a way in, but we can't have an oversaturated field of just opinions being posited as facts.
Yeah,
like it is nice to have a publisher that is like, so this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is no research behind.
Well, yeah,
it, because.
Especially as, like, AI is just going to get worse and worse.
Right, and I really do think that some of these people are just, like, asking AI to, like,
yeah,
format their opinions into, yeah, an essay.
Yeah.
And there was a really cool study that I read on Substack, mm-hmm, that was, like, how the essay is dying, or, like, here are the trends, and here's, like, the pitfalls from, like, the 2010s to 2020s.
Mm-hmm.
We are really getting into only emotional stuff in the 2020s.
Yeah.
Like, it's all kind of nebulous and stuff. It is nice to have some facts sometimes.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
nice to have, like, some primary sources, some, like, aggregate, yeah, synthesis sources of facts.
You can put, like, say your opinion about a factual thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or sure.
You can tell a story from your life.
Yeah.
I think that Substack is becoming just this, like, place where people are mining their experiences.
And like barely.
Doing it for the plot and then connecting it back to some, like, weird like social justice thing that actually has nothing to do with helping other people,
yeah,
or like marginalized groups.
I'm, yeah,
like, you guys aren't, this isn't work.
Yeah,
like, this isn't work.
Yeah, like, you're not actually like moving the needle in any way.
Right, you're rage baiting people for clicks, so then you can make money, and never gonna fault somebody for making money.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it is just not like, it's not art to me. It's becoming less about art on that platform.
It's
to me,
definitely, which is sad. It's just like, I feel like faster and faster things are just becoming like commodified,
right,
or just overtaken. And I want to go back to a time before I knew everyone's thoughts.
Right.
I don't care.
Like, I think that the reason why we hate each other so much more now is because you would never have to know some of the intimate details of people's life or just what they thought about something,
yeah,
unless you saw them in person and ran into that
and
conversation
with them. Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Where you can actually like have a discussion with them. Instead, I'm seeing someone's Instagram story of like a stupid joke that they wrote, and I'm like, I'm beginning to not like you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's get back to like workshopping things, and editing.
Maybe withholding.
Yeah.
I think that a big part of my early 20s was oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an artful way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A la Lena Dunham.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But like, you really have got to do like have a sexy little secret, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to know every single thing about you.
No, I mean, that's why I archived all my posts on Instagram,
which is so fierce,
and I'm just not posting anymore ever.
I think that I will be posting, but that's because I do need male attention right now, so let's go ahead and send.
So if you want to give Drew some male attention,
yeah, and seriously, please, can I have some more, like,
please, yeah. I think, what are your goals for the next year? Maybe we can do that instead of heaven and hell.
Goals?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get a little more earnest,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a big goal, we've been talking about this a little bit, but like the way that I watch movies and like what you're saying about like intention,
mm-hmm,
it's like watching them with a more thoughtful eye,
mm-hmm,
not letting my reaction to a movie be the only thing that I base it on, or like its cultural context be what I based it on. Like, start like picking apart movies from like more angles than like the ones that are super natural to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that we talk about this a lot, but like the way that people are watching movies right now is like really going down the drain. And like I think that like having those conversations with your friends about like how other perspectives you could take on a movie, or like what parts really were effective and which parts didn't really succeed, rather than it being just like flamboyant tastes or opinion, like things being like, oh, I hated this continuity error, I hated this whatever. I'm like, let's talk about like what the stories are. Yeah. Let's talk about like what the beautiful cinematography is. Like let's talk about like the narrative, threads, the themes. Like, let's talk about those things. Like, I want to jump into like those types of conversations more.
Yeah. I think that's like a good lens to look through like all media that you consume through. And like kind of like going back on that like Substack thing, it's like consuming not things with like, not that everything you consume has to have like a lot of intention behind it, but like not just consuming slop, even if it's like there for you, if that makes sense. Like, just because there's like a Substack article there, and it's, but then you like start reading it and you're like, this is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to read it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and honestly, stepping away from the rage bait is gonna be one of my big things. The same thing with like not being as reactive to movies all the time. Like, obviously movies should like impact you. A lot of movies should do that like right away. But not letting that be like the only thing. Opinion. And like being less reactive to everything, I think.
Yeah.
And like taking a moment to think about like how I actually feel about something, or like what I like and dislike from something.
Changing your Letterboxd scores a couple days after.
Right. Coming back to something, returning to stuff, honestly, sleeping on it. Yeah. Like, those are things. Taking time is going to be a big goal that I think is like the through line of all of those things.
That's like my biggest goal for 2026 is to like just slow down and like just take my time with stuff. Like, there is not a rush.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like, everything is telling you there is a rush. There's not.
Right.
There's not.
They're trying to hurry you so then you don't do as good of work.
Like, exactly.
Like, they don't want you to do something that, like, completely overthrows, like, somebody's, like, point of view or whatever. Or, like, makes people think differently. But it's, like, I don't know. Everything's kind of broken, so it does is going to take a lot of time and care to, like, repair things.
Yeah.
So it's, like, why do a rushed job of that when we can just like slowly rebuild? One, a legend said it best, I'm disengaging. But two, like, I think that our attention is going to become something that is like the prime currency that's obviously being mined right now pretty hard. But like, if you're able to control like that reaction time, or like, you know, if you're able to be like, no, this is how I actually feel, like rooting it in your values and stuff, then like it becomes much more hard to manipulate you.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to be easily manipulatable.
Exactly.
Like, and I think that that's like what like hating stuff does. Like, if you just hate stuff, or like if you just like follow the crowd of like, oh, this thing fucking sucks, or like even the opposite, being like a just like thoughtless contrarian about things, then like you've kind of taken their bait because you're on a side.
Right.
But like, ambiguity, I think, is something that's going to be really like chic.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Being like, oh, this is how I think about it now, but it's all transient, and I'm always willing to change my mind, low-key.
I think like holding space. Whoa. for like the binaries of life and like contradictions, you know, it's like, I could like one thing one week and not like it another week, and both of that is valid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
People change. Your opinions change, your like likes change, and just kind of going with it.
Right.
You know?
Right. There's that like essay by Mark Fisher about The Vampire's Castle where it's like, basically, if you haven't like done the right thing in the social eye, like you're like completely ostracized from like this like thing. But being a part of The Vampire's Cat, like being like up in your ivory tower or whatever, because you've all chosen like how you're supposed to react, like, that's not going to bring us to a society
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not gonna like bring us together. That's not gonna like do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that like a big cultural conversation that I think has to be had is like negotiating priorities between people.
Yeah.
And like understanding that like one side can't win.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
These things have to be like negotiated pretty like
thoughtfully. Slapped on.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we can't just be like, it's my way or the highway, mm-hmm. because it's like, well, clearly that'll never work.
And that's how everyone is now. Yeah. You know, like
the same thing about like doing, wanting your own way at the movie theater, being mm-hmm. like, I want this to be a talking movie theater. I want the people to be on my phone. It's like, no, dude, like,
no.
We all have to like agree on what this experience is.
Yeah. And what has been agreed upon for about 80 years is that you shut up and you get off your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a public park.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a public
yeah.
park is a place where it's like, this is
scream and shout here. And let it all out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now I have that fucking Will I Am and Britney's. It's Will I Am and Britney
bitch. Yeah. I mean, I think 2026, it can only go up from here.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
I know. I'm like, bro.
And yeah, I think it'll be a good year.
I know. And I mean, another goal is that like, we really want to keep making this podcast.
Yeah, we do. We got some ideas up our sleeve.
Yeah, we're cooking.
We're cooking, and we're gonna follow through.
Yeah, we're cooking, and yeah, we're letting the sauce simmer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're putting the meatballs in the pot.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, this has been great.
Thanks for being with us this year. This will probably get published in 2026, but that's okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
See you next
love
year.
You.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.